all will make the grown man cry. Of course, that is Card Me Up, ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was appropriate on the last day of the baseball season. But the playoffs await. But today, folks, as you know, I guess what began as a last-minute scorekeeper event has now become an annual event. And I am thrilled. As you know, I am the scorekeeper. Thank you, folks. Otherwise known as Roger Noriega. Otherwise known as a whole lot of other stuff. It is a pleasure and a thrill that I'm bringing to join me today. I'm having as my co-host today, Tim McLeod from the great imperial realm of Canada. Rumor has it it's still cold up there. And, you know, since it's hot down here, especially in Pomona, I wanted to get that feeling of the cool, crisp, I don't know, I'm losing it, Frontier North, I guess. Tim, good evening. How you doing, pal?
Good evening, Raj. I am doing just great. And just to let you know, yesterday here, it was 85 degrees, okay? I break into a sweat at 60. At 85, it was serious waterworks happening. I was walking around with a towel all day, if you can believe it.
Wow, Tim, that's how insensitive I've been. I didn't realize that. It was actually cool here yesterday. I just know it was a bit cooler. But, Tim, ever since I moved to Pomona in December of last year, Oh, my goodness, I now know why I don't like 100.
You know what the big difference, though, is the fact that it was 85 here yesterday, okay? But by next weekend, we could have snow. So, yeah, you're right. I live in a weather-challenged part of the world. But I want to thank you so much for having me on this evening and talking a little bit about some of our award winners. Much appreciated.
Yes, we are. We're going to be talking about our award winners. This is something that Tim and I have spoken about over the years, especially when the awards come out. And I know that I really started doing this when there was the whole deal of King Felix back, I actually don't remember the year now, scorekeeper's getting old, but this was a year when he was a very pedestrian, I think it was 13-12 or, I don't know, 12-11 or something, but his just numbers were ungodly. He was on a team that just, what's the word that you would say, Tim? I would say they just humped the bunk all year.
Well, yeah, abysmal would probably describe that team in a fairly decent fashion, Raj. But you know what was nice to see about that, and it's something that I hope we see more of in the future, is that the standard wins, strikeouts, those standard categories that for so long the voters have used to measure what is determined to be the winner of these awards, it's nice to see them taking a look and going a little bit deeper. If a starting pitcher only wins 10 games but strikes out 240 and has an ERA of 1, the fact that he only won 10 games really shouldn't be held against him, should it?
I do not, Tim, I agree with you on that. And that is something that I guess, you know, Tim, in our society in the United States here, it's all about winning, baby. And it's always about having the biggest one. And it's always having the most toys. So logically, you can understand our infatuation. Hey, the guy had an ERA of 3.89, struck out 100 guys, but he won 24. That's the Cy Young Award.
Well, yeah, we're going to rename it the Jack Morris Award, aren't we?
Oh, Tim, already took the first shot. I love you, man.
What can I say? That one was there. That was too easy, scorekeeper.
That's funny, Tim, because the one I was actually reaching back for was actually probably Bob Welch. I wasn't even thinking about Jack Morris at the time, but you're funny. Bob Welch was one of the last guys to win. I believe it was 27-5, and he had a 3.27 ERA. Actually, kind of decent if you think about it.
Yeah. Welch had himself a really, really good season. You know, when you start looking at, you know, We used to measure, I think, as far as pitching performances, you know, the magic number was 30 wins and 300 strikeouts. Well, you know, with the way the game has evolved and changed, I think 25 wins now is almost the equivalent of that 30 with the five and a half man rotations we're looking at out there. I don't know. What do you think? Will we ever see another starting pitcher win 30 games ever?
No. 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 Oh, and by the way, no, Tim. And for me, that's a bit sad. But, yeah, it's the most disappointing thing to me. If you look at some of the years, starting from the 1980s until today, the number of wins really stand out. Bob Welch being the one closest to 27, and that was in... I know it's a year that they won the World Series, I think. It could have been 1990. I forget now.
Mm.
But I remember Ron Guidry, 25-3 in that incredible season in 1978. And I know there were a few other guys that won 20, but it was like 21, 22, maybe 23. Actually, someone went 24-4. I remember that.
Well, yeah, and you know what?
If
you look at it this year, how many pitchers are going to win 20 games? Less than five.
You know, Tim, you and I can go back on that over and over. And this is a quick shout-out, and I think it's time to also get a shout-out for some of the stuff that you do, Tim. But for Tri-State Sports Guys, they're also on this channel. Love them a great deal.
Okay.
They interviewed Pete Rose. They interviewed Tommy John, but I love them because when they interviewed Tommy John in his infinite wisdom said, you want to stop all these injuries? You want to get these guys to be much better? You have them pitch every day. And not necessarily pitch, right, Tim? You need them to throw every day. Remember the Braves of the 1990s? When did they get hurt? Remember that?
Well, you know what, they didn't, and you know what, I think when you look at the breaking pitches, the number of sliders being thrown, you look at the way some of these guys are bending the ball, that puts an incredible amount of torque on the elbow. You know, as long as pitchers are going to throw high percentage of those breaking pitches, I think there's going to be problems. But, you know, hey, I would love to see a team... Let's face it, most teams out there barely have four starters, let alone five. I'd love to see a team step back and say, hey, we got four fastball pitchers. Let's wheel them out every fourth day and see what happens. And you know what? It might be a revelation.
You know, Tim, I was of the same mind, but then as someone slapped me across the face, proverbially, there's a thing called the agent that will step in. And apparently agents have a big say, whereas if they feel that a certain team will cause undue harm on a talent, then they just won't take their next free agent to that team. Could you believe it? Those
would
are
that
real
be
power brokers.
Yeah, would that be before or after the 8-digit contract?
Yeah, that's right. Before or after. Yeah, you're right, Tim.
I hate to see that commission going to waste. Sorry, my facetiousness is taking over again. What can I say?
No, not at all. You are an incredibly funny man. There's no doubt, Tim. And you are well known to the Imperial North through your services. But in the internet, you are on Blog Talk Radio on a regular basis, and you also write for a website, Tim. Can you share that so that our audience, they know who you are, Tim. Let's just remind them.
Well, yeah, I Sunday nights you can find me at Prospect 361 Podcast. I'm now in my fifth year, I think, let me just check the notches on the wall. Yeah, it looks like five of them. And we offer our own take on the prospects coming into baseball. And it's a fantasy baseball related show hosted by Rich Wilson. And we have an absolute blast. When I'm not... doing that show on Sundays. I have just recently switched, and I am now affiliated and working with PattonandCompany.com. I've been with Rotorob for the past 7 years and just decided it was time for a change, scorekeeper. So I'm now doing some work for Patton and Company. I can be found all over the Facebook and Twitter sphere, SiriusXM. During the baseball season, I'm on every Sunday morning. And I guess that pretty well sums it up. I spend a lot of time answering questions from listeners, readers, and I have a blast with it. Whatever you do, people, keep them coming. If I can help, I'm glad to be there.
Wow. Yes. No doubt, folks. This is the man. He does know baseball. And when it comes to fantasy, the guy knows what he's talking about. Oh, and of course, we're talking about baseball. Folks, we have a lot planned for tonight. We're going to be going over a lot of stuff. I know, I didn't tell Tim this, but I know he'll be ready to go. When I give my winners, I'm actually going to give a third place, a second place, and then I'm going to name my guy. I didn't tell Tim I was going to do this, and that's my fault. But I know Tim can carry the conversation with me. I did not prepare him for that, and I do apologize. And I'm going to ask his help, because I did have a little bit of difficulty for Manager of the Year in the National League. That was a bit of a quandary for me, so I'm really haven't exactly decided yet. But
well, I'll tell you, scorekeeper. You know what I did was I listed three or four names for pretty well everything we're going to be talking. So hopefully I can fill in some of the gaps. And I agree the NL Manager of the Year is a little bit of a challenge, but hey, I got some names I can toss out at you.
That is absolutely awesome. See, I think Tim always does his homework. He's always prepared. And when he doesn't, allegedly, he just knows what he's talking about. That's great. I used to have that knowledge till I got lazy. Anyway, folks, we're going to get this one going on the road. We're going to be talking about, you know what, here are the categories, and Tim and I are going to trade off. We're going to, here they are. There's Cy Young Award, there's the Fireman of the Year, there's the Most Valuable Player. There's also a new category, which I put in, it's the Offensive Player of the Year, because, as we know, the MVP might not have the best year offensively. So I decided to bring that one in. And besides, the MVP could be a pitcher, too. Even though I disagree with it, I know the pitcher has won the MVP. And I'll never, ever, ever give it to a starter. I know Willie Hernandez, I believe, got the MVP in Detroit's run in 1984. But that's neither here nor there. Maybe it was just a playoff run. We're going to be talking about the Rookie of the Year. We're also going to be talking about the managers, both American League and National League. And there might be another category, Defensive Player of the Year, which is also a new one as well. I have my choices. The only one, as I mentioned, a little spotty of managers. But, Tim, I think I'm going to go with the easy one. I am just going to start out, and I'm going to go with, let's go with the small position. I'm going to go with the Fireman of the Year, Tim. And I'm going to start first American League and National League. And folks, I'm not going to really kill you guys with the numbers, but I'm going to tell you. Yes, I am a Yankee fan, and I have to tell you that even though my team did not do very well, I actually do list one Yankee. So this should satisfy all of you that I've not chosen Derek Jeter as my MVP.
I believe I commented on that already, Raj.
Oh, good man. Good man. For the American League, my third-place winner would have to be Mr. Robertson from the Yankees. Considering the team he was on, considering what he had, and knowing that he did have an inordinate number of blown saves, the man still did save 39 games. Strikeout, arson, I mean, this guy knows how to do it. He knows how to get it done. And talk about not missing a beat. You're replacing probably the greatest reliever of all time. I'm not prepared to say he was. I think he is, but I'm not prepared to say it just yet. So Mr. Robertson was my third choice. My second choice also comes out of the American League, and it's the guy from Baltimore. Now, this is a guy who I thought was better. You know what, maybe I should just pull up those statistics right now. But his whip was just a tad lower, and his saves, well, if they speak for themselves, Baltimore's Britain, right? Is that the way you pronounce his name, Tim? Is it Brittany?
As a matter of fact, we have the same second pick, scorekeeper. So I can tell you he was 36 for 40 in the save department. And when you look at Baltimore's bullpen heading into the season, there were some serious, serious question marks. They won a tough AL East, or what should have been, by 12 games. He stabilized the bullpen. Zach Britton is definitely, definitely worthy of mention on this list. Like I said, I have him in number two spot as well.
I appreciate that. Tim, who was your number three out of curiosity?
Well, that was sort of a tough one for me, but you know what? I've often condemned this individual. I've given him grief from absolutely everything pretty well he's done, from slinging arrows to not knowing how to wear a hat. But in between, the Mariners actually had a heck of a good year, and Mr. Rodney led the AL in saves with 48. The ERA was a little bit high, but, you know, he played a huge role in Seattle's fortunes this year, and that's who I had in third, was Fernando Rodney.
I have to tell you, of course, you know, I mentioned it was Robertson, who was 39-44. Rodney was, I feel, lights out, folks, and that's what it is. A reliever now is, I'm sorry to say, it's a one-inning guy. The guy had almost a 3-to-1 strikeout ratio, and they didn't hit really much against him. They hit .244. You know, that's not bad for a closer. That's actually darn good. And
could you imagine how good he could be if he learned how to wear a cap right?
Oh, my goodness, you're so right. I mean, if he'd ever get that in order, I think he'd be a Craig Kimbrell Part 2, just an older version.
A little heavier, too, I think.
Oh, yeah. But what really, really got me on him was the fact that he lost six games. His ERA was almost 3, and his WHIP 1.34. But we know that, Tim. This is the wild theme incarnate. A right-handed version of Mitch Williams.
Oh, yeah.
He was my number four guy because he did save 48 games, Tim. He did. I mean, that's a lot.
Well, yeah, it is, and Seattle performed a lot better than we thought. You know, my fourth guy was a combination of two guys, your guy being one and your guy's setup guy being number two. I had them combined as my fourth best because Robertson had a great year, but when you look at what Dylan Betances did this year, you know what, if by chance Robertson isn't back next year, I don't think the Yankees are going to skip a beat with that young kid in a closing role. Awesome year.
I appreciate that, Tim. And as a Yankee fan, yeah, there's a lot of hope on that one. That's interesting. I kind of avoided him because he was a middle reliever, but, yeah, his year was phenomenal. I am going to say, Tim, that surprisingly I did go with a AAA team this year and the AAA team from south of the border. And that is, of course, from the Los Kansas City Reales, folks. My boy was Holland. This man, his numbers are unbelievable, folks. He was 1-3, which I believe is probably the only negative mark, an ERA of 1.44 in 65 games. He had 48 opportunities. He closed the door 46 times. And look at this guy, 62 innings. He gave up 37 hits. Ow! And then, of course, he walked 20, struck out 90. That's almost 5-1. Wow. Actually, is that 4.5-1? I don't know. We might have to work it out. They hit 170 against him and 0.91. Tim, that's a season. That's impressive. And that's my fireman of the year for the American League.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you anymore. He is my choice as well. And you know what? I would pay money, okay, just to hear you say the Kansas City Royals in the fashion you do. That is worth the price of admission, my friend.
I appreciate that, Tim, because, you know, I've made fun of the Royals forever because they've really just never been up to snuff. So I just, you know, being that they're from Middle America, no less, what happened was someone said, we were talking about Central America. I said, hey, wait a minute. Everyone thinks that we need a team in Central America. Well, let's go to Middle America. They suck anyway. Let's go.
Well, yeah, and you know what?
Well.
They're not too far from Miami either, are they?
Oh, my goodness. You remember that. Yes, Miami. Oh, my goodness, folks. That's right. Not far at all. So you have Reales, and, of course, you have Miami. Tim, my choice, and what a shock that two of the guys on that list, we had the same ones, one and two.
Yes, we did.
What a shock. So it's either Misery Love Company or this is a Mutual Admiration Society. I don't know which.
Well, I'm gonna go with Mutual Admiration. We gotta go with. I, as much as it hurts me to bend my arm far enough to pat myself on the back, I can't pat yours, Rich. I mean, sorry, Rod. Sorry.
As a matter of fact, Tim, I consider myself in good company. Thank you, sir. If you lost yourself in that mode and you thought you were with Mr. Wilson, I am in good company, sir.
Well, I'll tell you, as you well know, and the listeners don't, as soon as I get off the phone here, 2 minutes later, I'm on with my good friend Mr. Wilson doing a two-hour mock draft. So if I tend to, lose my focus at some point in time, at least I got a half-assed explanation for it.
That's true. That is true. Folks, we're going to go to the next one. Tim, where do you want to take us? And I'm along for the ride on this one.
Okay, we're talking about firemen, so let's look at the NL. And I only pulled up two names on this one, scorekeeper. And in second spot, I went with one of our Cuban imports and went with Aroldis Chapman. In 53 innings pitched, he struck out 103. He allowed a total of 20 hits, 35 saves on the season, and considering the horrible, horrible accident that occurred at the end of spring training, where he was seriously injured, to come back and produce a season like that is absolutely off the charts good. I love what Chapman did. But my winner has to come from a team that didn't win enough games this year, and that would be the Atlanta Braves and Craig Kimbrell. 1.63 ERA, .91 whip, 60 and two-thirds, 92 strikeouts. He's currently leading the NL in saves with 46. I think he got another one today for 47. And he only blew four saves on the season. So hats off to who I think is currently the best closer in the game in Craig Kimbrell. I'll turn it over to you, Raj.
Tim, yes, yes, and yes. Everything you just said. Number two, Chapman. Wow. I still remember. It was either that evening or the day after when he took the photo and put it on Twitter. What a hellacious victory. And to make that recovery, wow, I'm just enamored. He comes from a team that I despise. I just have no love for them, but I acknowledge it. Mr. Chapman, wow. I mean, that guy is dangerously good. And Kimbrell, well, you said it all. The only other one that I would have added, which is much to my shock and much to everyone else, was the guy from Philadelphia. He was my number three. That was Papelbon. I actually think he had a very quiet, very effective year. Mr. Papelbon, for a team that really was worthless, saved 39 of 43. He had an ERA of 2.04. He was, of course, 2-3. In 66 innings, he gave up 45 hits. He walked 15 and struck out 63. That's a 4-1. And his numbers are comparable. 0.191 on the average and 0.90 on a whip. Folks, those numbers aren't achieved all the time. They're achieved by the top 10% of relievers, and he's right in there. That's why he was my number three, Tim. But again, he's just number
three. And you know what? You got to give him extra points for crotch grabbing. He had the best one of the year, so hey, how could you go wrong with that?
Oh, yes, yes, that's so true. Imagine Papelbon and Niger Morgan in the same sentence. Wow. Way to go, boys. Way to go.
I'm surprised they weren't collecting batteries around the mound after that performance.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right, well then, folks, we already have our first choices, and surprisingly, Tim and I, for the firemen, went 1 and 2 on both sides. So great minds, dare I say, think alike. Folks, we're going to continue. We still have the Cy Young Award, MVP, Rookie of the Year, and lots of other things. Kim, I started with firemen, and I went with the American League. Where do you want to go next? Which one do you want to talk about?
Well, you know what? I think I'd like to head to the Rookie of the Year and pass out some of the hardware to some of the younger players that look to have some bright futures in our game.
All right, Tim. Oh, man, this was rough for me. But go ahead. Go ahead, Tim. Which one do you want to do? American League, National League, which one?
Let's start with the National League. That work for you?
Oh, that's perfect. Go ahead, Tim. Start off with National League.
Okay, in the National League, there were several players that had really good seasons, up and down. I look at Colton Wong in St. Louis, 12 homers, 41 RBIs, 20 stolen bases in less than half a season. Gregory Polanco, for all the grief he took for that slump and being demoted, you know, in 277 at-bats, he scored 50 runs and stole 14 bases. That's not bad for a young kid, but my number two guy in what is going to be probably the tightest race, my number two guy is Billy Hamilton. 56 stolen bases. On the surface, looks great, but he was caught 23 times. You cannot successfully stay in a leadoff capacity being caught at that level. And I've seen Billy Hamilton play live in the AFL, and this guy has blazing speed. Somebody has to take him aside and teach him some of the strategy involved in base stealing. And the other thing that concerns me about Billy Hamilton is he struggled very badly down the stretch. I think on the year you're looking at a .292 on base percentage. If he's going to stay in the leadoff role, we got to see a bit more than Billy Hamilton. But at the same point in time, he's definitely worthy of number two. And my winner in the NL is a guy that came out of nowhere for the Mutts, and that would be Jake DeGrom. 9-6. Pitched 140 in the third innings with 144 strikeouts and an amazing 2.69 ERA. I remember when he got called up because it was a big debate because he got called up at the same time as Montero. And a lot of people just didn't see DeGrom as fitting into the program. But he took the ball, ran with it, and he is my choice for NL Rookie of the Year. Your kick at the can, Raj.
Wow, Tim. You know, I really didn't see any of the position players impressing me. I know Hamilton stole the show, really. He had 56 bases. You know, Wong from St. Louis, I know he only hit 251. That guy stole 20 bases and was only nailed 4 times. He did win 112 games. So, I thought that was decent. His OPS was 685. So, you know, I gave him some consideration. But that was really it. I did not choose a position player for a 4-5 or whatever. I only had 2 choices, Tim. And unfortunately, they were both pitchers. And you heard me gasp. So we know what my rookie of the year is. The second guy was also from the same team. But this was the middle guy. This guy, Familia, was 2-5 with a 2.21 ERA in 76 games. In 77 innings, he had 59 hits, struck out 73 guys, and he walked 32. This guy was impressive for a middle guy, but he wasn't my number one. And, Tim, you said it clearly. DeGrom, this guy in 22 games started. Wow. I think he was clearly the rookie of the year, hands down, butt cold. That was my guy, too, Tim. Can't believe it. Wow.
We're 3 for 3. One of us should have skipped doing our notes, and we could have saved some work here, Raj, because we're definitely on the same page.
Most definitely, folks. Now, since Tim went to the National League Rookie of the Year, I'm going to go to the American League Rookie of the Year. Now, over here, folks, let me see. If you take one guy out, maybe two, you'd have a hard time. I'm wasting time, right, Tim? Why even bother mentioning the other guy? In my humble opinion, some little kid from another team, which, I'll take the White Sox over anyone else, but this guy, 145 games,
36 home runs, 107 RBIs. The only negative he had for a rookie of the year, he struck out 131 times. But the guy got 176 hits, so I'll kind of forgive that. His on-base was 383, slugging 581. So you get the average of 317, and he had an OPS of 964. Tim, I don't want to waste anyone else's time, but that little kid, I use that term loosely, that little kid from Chicago was my rookie of the year, Abreu, hands down. No one was close except for, I wanted to give McHugh and Betances some love. I think they did have great years, but Abreu, buddy. I mean, this guy was a middle of the order from day one. That's my rookie of the year for the American.
Well, you know, we're 4-for-4 now. You can't argue with those numbers. You know, and even when his power waned a little bit down the stretch, his contact rates remain solid. He actually improved on his batting average heading down the stretch. I agree with Betances, McHugh. The only other names that I'd like to just throw out there, George Springer in Houston, 295 at-bats, 20 homers, 51 RBIs. From your side of the world, there was a kid in Los Angeles that came out of nowhere to post a 16-4 season with a 3.04 ERA. Where would the Angels be without Matt Shoemaker? An amazing season. And Yordano Ventura went 14-10 with a 3.07 ERA for the Royals. There were so many good choices this year in the AL, and there's so many bright young kids that I believe have a great future. But you cannot top 36, 107, 317. That's a lock. The only thing that was a shame is the fact that Tanaka went down with the elbow woe, because at that point in time, it looked like a two-horse race. But unfortunately, Tanaka's elbow didn't hold up, and Jose Abreu is our winner.
And Tim, I appreciate you say that about Shoemaker, because I thought about him too. But when I got rid of my boy from New York, you know, he only won 12 games. You know, wow. No, 13 games. He was 13-5. Shoemaker, in some ways, clearly had a superior year, but kind of what, you know, he only started 20 games. But that was an easy way for me to rule him out. Folks, this guy last year probably could have been the rookie of the year, and maybe even this upcoming year. 16-4 with a 3.04 from a rookie? Get out of town!
When you look at Los Angeles, they're in the playoffs. They clinched that division, and I think he had a big hand in deciding their fate this year. So that's why I threw him in there. He deserves all the accolades, I believe, that he gets.
I believe so. And it's a shame that Shoemaker, as good as he was, I think he's going to get a lot of points, but folks, the reality is Abreu had a middle-of-the-order season in his first year, and that, in my humble opinion, makes him rookie of the year. So, wow. Tim, I think, we've already done two. I'm going to go back to pitching. It is my love, of course, but I'm gonna take this one because it's I love the American League. Don't get me wrong, I love baseball, but I love the American League. So we're going to go back to them, folks. We're going to take a look at the Cy Young Award. Now, this is one that probably really comes down to two pitchers only. There's a third one, and I'm going to say, of course, it is from the nemesis that went to Oakland, and that was Lester, folks. I don't know about you, but I can clearly admit it. Mr. Lester, I think, had a fine, fine season, in my humble opinion. And when you look at what Lester did, he ended up going, where is he, Mr. Lester? I apologize. Here he is. Lester, he was 16-11 with a 2.46 ERA. Folks, in the home run era, in the dead ball era, 2.46 is pretty damn impressive. He went 219 innings and 194 hits given up. They hit .236 against him. If anything, his whip was 1.10, but hey, once you get to 1.2, that's the bare minimum, so I think he was just fine. Lester is my number three guy. My number two guy, and they were close,
but I'll tell you why. Unfortunately, my number two choice is the guy from Cleveland, Kluber. He went 18-9 with a 244 in 34 games. He went 235 innings. He had 207 hits. They hit 233 against him, and they had a whip of 1.09, clearly superior. And get this, in 235 innings, guys, he struck out 269 and walked 51. So let's just say at 50 and 250. That's 5-1, folks. Wow. That's impressive. Now, so happens that I'm going to go with the guy who, in my humble opinion, was the better pitcher. And even though he won fewer games, I'm not going to say he's my favorite. I'm going to say that this is another guy that just is the best pitcher in baseball. And he was worthy of my Cy Young Award. And that, of course, is King Felix himself. He did pitch the exact same number of games, 34. He was 15-6 with a 2.14 ERA. In 236 innings, he gave up 170 hits, walked 46, and struck out 248. They hit 200 against him, and the whip was 0.92. Folks, when you look at the raw numbers, they are incredibly similar. But I'm not going to be dumb enough to say, well, Kluber only had three more wins. No, folks, I'm not going to say that. Kluber had an awesome season, but there's a choice to make. And I made the choice. Felix Hernandez is my Cy Young Award winner. His numbers, in my humble opinion, are still superior to Kluber. Tim, American League Cy Young Award.
Well, you know what? We're finally going to be a little bit different on this one, and
yeah,
not by a whole heck of a lot. I had Kluber as my number one, and I had Felix as my number two. I think the actual vote, Felix will get it based on, you know, their seasons are comparable. They both had brilliant seasons, but I think to the mainstream voter, Felix Hernandez carries a little bit more weight than Corey Kluber. But I've always been one to root for the underdog, and hey, if a Cleveland Indian starting pitcher could win the Cy Young, there's my underdog pick. So I went Kluber, Fernandez. And then I had three honorable mentions. Chris Sale in Chicago, he was 12-4. 174 innings pitched, 208 strikeouts, a 2.17 ERA. Brilliant year for Sale. Max Scherzer, you know, everybody talks about Price and Verlander, and everybody in Detroit gets the ink, but Max Scherzer quietly went 18-5 with 252 strikeouts. I don't care. David Price didn't write in to save the Detroit Tigers this year. Max Scherzer was already there. And the last pitcher I want to mention is a pitcher I ridiculed back last spring, thinking it was the biggest waste of cash the Minnesota Twins, of all teams, could possibly blow their money on, and that's Phil Hughes. You know, the potential was always there. We never saw it, but this year he posted a number that is going to be almost impossible to replicate. He won 16 games for the Twins, and in those 16 games, he allowed 16 walks. Amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible. It is amazing. I don't think anyone's going to replicate it. Even though there is one guy that that probably could be in that conversation, and you know who I'm talking about. He's another ex-Yankee who's already retired, but very recent. Remember his name? He also pitched, if I'm not mistaken, for Minnesota.
CC Sabathia?
You're funny. Bob Tewksbury.
Yes.
Remember? That guy didn't walk a lot of guys either.
No, he was a Cardinal for a while too, wasn't he?
Unfortunately, yes. But yeah.
We will hold that against him.
You know, Tim, excellent choices and excellent commentary. Yes, I do believe Scherzer is one that I overlooked. And I just felt the ERA was a bit too high. But they do deserve several mentions. But here's the thing, Tim. Here's what I will give credence. I'm not changing my vote, but I respect your opinion on the Cleveland pitcher because we talk about being on good teams. this guy won on 18 games on a team that was, well, yeah. I mean, they were in it for a while, and then they weren't. Seattle was. Mm. And that's the only reason why I gave it to Seattle, Felix, because they were in a playoff run. But all things being equal, I think the Cleveland guy probably was better.
Well,
I
you
hope
know what?
That. I hope.
When you look at what, you know, hey, Seattle was in a win-or-go-home situation today. And who did they wheel out there after pitching 240 innings but King Felix? And he allowed one hit, struck out seven, and Seattle won the game. You can't argue about King Felix's stature in the game. He is one of the top three pitchers. And you know what? Barring injury next year, he will still be one of the top three pitchers in the game, scorekeeper.
Yeah, you know, Tim, he's been good for a while now. The Yankee, I drool and wonder when we'll get him, but ever since they signed that long-term deal, he thinks it's not going to happen because this could be one of those guys going to be good for a long time.
I think as a Yankee fan, scorekeeper, you should keep your fingers crossed for Giancarlo Stanton. Much, much more than King Felix.
You know, Giancarlo Stanton. We'll get to him in a bit, but, you know, Jim, I wow, yes, five tool, I humbly believe, but what kills me are the strikeouts. Really. And that just eats me alive. And that's another reason why I really didn't give Hamilton another thought going back to rookie of the years. There were just a lot of strikeouts. But that's my thing. But I had to throw that one in there before we talk about some other players because, I believe Kirk Gibson was the MVP in 1988 when he hit 25 home runs and 76 RBIs. And Daryl Strawberry had, 39 home runs and 101 RBIs. The reason was because he was the most valuable player. He made that Dodger team competitive. So I do consider lots of stuff. And I am against Kinner striking out, but I'm probably giving you a hint on one of my picks later. But that's neither here nor there. Tim, American League, we just switched to 1-2. What a shock. So, we're still there. Where do you want to go to now?
Let's do the NL Cy Young. Why don't you get the ball rolling there? Because I have a feeling that we're on the same page here.
Yeah, there's no doubt, folks. On this one, I do want to give a shout-out to Mr. Wainwright. I mean, this is a guy that was hurt not too long ago, and he came back, and he's now doing what he does, and he pitches, folks. This man is not a thrower. He's a pitcher. He only went 20-9 with a 2.38 ERA in 32 games. He pitched 227 innings, gave up 184 hits, and he walked 50 and struck out 179. The league hit 222 against him, and he had a whip of 1.03. Folks, when a starter can get to 1.0, most of you know what that means. In nine innings, nine guys got on base. That's difficult. It's incredibly difficult. When you have a one, that's phenomenal. And, you know, we won't even get into it if it's below one, but I guess we are. And unfortunately, no, I'm going to stick with the team that I dislike. I don't dislike the team. I dislike the Fan Nation. And it's another man who had an eerily similar year, but still much better. And that was Mr. Cueto from Cincinnati, who was also 20-9, but his ERA was 2.25, pitched two games more than he did, started two more games, and he pitched 243 innings, and gave up 169 hits. That's 15 less than Wainwright in about 14 innings more. Wow. And he struck out, he walked 65, but then pretty much struck out 50 more than Wainwright at 242. The lead hit 194, and his whip was .96. Folks, you want a definition of a stopper? That's Wainwright. You want a definition of a stopper that's a little bit better? That's Cueto. And, folks, if you want a definition of ungodly, remember, Tim, when Oral Hershiser was having that phenomenal year, and Joe Garagiola and Vince Scully were doing the game of the week on Saturday, remember when he said Oral Hershiser plays in the Ultra League? Remember that?
Yes, sir.
We have another Dodger that plays in the Ultra League, folks. And even though he was hurt and he missed six, maybe seven starts, in 27 games pitched, his ERA was 1.77. He threw, and I use that disrespectfully, 198 innings, gave up 139 hits. He walked 31, and he struck out 239. The average against him was 196, and his whip was 0.86. Oh, and by the way, he won 21 and lost 3 of 27 games. Folks, he had 24 decisions out of 24 starts. That means that when he pitches, the Dodgers are in every game. If Wainwright's a stopper and Cueto's that much better, just put them aside, folks. I had to mention them out of respect, but this was a blowout. Clayton Kershaw is probably, if not the best pitcher in all of baseball, and he is my Cy Young Award winner for the National League.
Well, you know, scorekeeper, the only thing I can say here is bingo, bango, bongo. We got the same order, and we've got exactly the same sentiments. You know, Cueto and Wainwright are great pitchers. What Clayton Kershaw did this year is beyond great. We're talking, you know, I've seen several articles comparing, you know, all-time seasons, et cetera, et cetera. And I think what we have witnessed this year is probably one of the top 15 performances in the history of baseball. There is no way on earth, despite the two great seasons by both Wainwright and Cueto, Kershaw is going to win that unanimously and in a landslide, and he should. He is, as far as I'm concerned, the best pitcher on the planet.
Oh, and folks, by the way, like what Tim said, Cueto and Wainwright, those are awesome years what they had. Man, those are Cy Young Award winners.
Yeah, you're talking about a guy who's likely to finish third in Wainwright, who won 20 games with a 2.38 ERA. Under, you know, in any other given year, we could be talking about Adam Wainwright or Cueto winning this award in a landslide. But because of the season that Kershaw posted, it's sort of unfortunate for those two, but they're going to be afterthoughts in this whole process.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Tim. And it's really a shame. My kudos are to them. They had phenomenal years, and I expect them to do well again next year. But yeah, there's some kid over on the West Coast that that stands in their way.
Tim, how old is he? Like 25?
Yeah, 25, 26, something like that. Yeah, he's just getting rolling right now, eh?
That's frightening. I mean, really, and I don't like to say that about anyone. I mean, he's that good this young? That's not fair. It's not.
Well, you know what? If you take a look at the Los Angeles Dodgers, okay, and you look at the season that they have had without Kershaw, I think it's I don't think the Dodgers are a playoff team. He's carried them to that extent this year.
Yeah, that's true. So, funny how you would say that. You now are making an MVP argument, but I guess that's in a little bit, which is one that I'm not necessarily going to agree with. I'm going to say it right out. I'm not really all hit on that. But, hey.
I don't know if I agree with me on that one, scorekeeper.
Oh, no, Tim. No, you just made an argument. I didn't say it was right or whatever, and I don't think you're a good. I'm going to go on right now.
Okay.
Kershaw is not your choice for MVP. Get out of town.
Well, you know what? I am a firm believer that pitchers should have their award and batters, hitters should have their award. But you know what? I think I was it was a coin toss for me up until the injury to Giancarlo Stanton. And when I look at what Kershaw has done this year for the Dodgers, I know it's only every fifth day, and unfortunately, the rules of the game are such that pitchers are not eliminated from the MVP award. At some point in time, I'd like to see something like that done because I really don't think it's a fair comparison. But this year, I really have to throw my support behind Clayton Kershaw as much as I have a hard time doing it as the NL MVP.
Well, I wonder if you're making an argument or if that's actually your choice. I'd like to hear your choices for National League MVP. Let's do it. Let's go down the list.
Okay, well, I only have two names mentioned, and I mentioned them both. And
oh, my goodness. You were
Stan,
not joshing.
Stan is my number two, and I have to go with Clayton Kershaw as my NL MVP.
A wonderful choice, Tim, and I will respect you for it. I do not agree, not even close, but your argument is real. And that is the definition of MVP, folks. It's not the one that has the best year always, except in the case of Clayton Kershaw. It's the guy that contributes most and is that obvious player that stands out. And you did make an argument for him, Tim, and I respect it, but I do I know the rule. We already mentioned it, but now you and I agree. Stanton is number two. I agree. My third choice was a Dodger, and no, it's not Kershaw. It's actually their first baseman, Gonzalez. That guy was
great
solid
choice.
For them
great
all
choice.
Year. I appreciate that, Tim. He was their steady Eddie all year. And I believe he contributed a great deal to the Dodgers. But the great thing about the Dodgers is they really got a darn good team, that they don't have to rely on one guy. But Gonzalez was my number three. My number two was Stanton of Miami. And much to the shock of everyone listening, I'm going to go with the guy who kept him in the race almost to the very end. He almost had a Kirk Gibson-like season. This is a guy that was carrying his team. And I'm disappointed where they ended up. But, of course, it is Mr. McCutchen from Pittsburgh. That's my choice, Tim.
And
but
you know what? I can't quibble with that. I actually, you know, when you start looking at Gonzalez, I got into a debate with several people not too long ago. Where would the Dodgers be without Gonzalez and D. Gordon emerging out of nowhere to lead the NL in stolen bases? Without those two players, maybe even Kershaw wouldn't have made a difference. But, you know, hey, McCutchen is the heart and soul of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and I certainly cannot quibble with his mention as a favorite to win any award, other than the Cy Young, which would be pretty dumbass on my behalf. But McCutchen's a great choice, Roger. Really is.
Oh, my goodness. Folks, I'm going to have to mark this time. Tim actually used a swear word, and I apologize. Tim doesn't swear. The only reason why he swears is because he's around me. So I apologize, Tim. I apologize.
You bring out the best in me, scorekeeper. What can I say?
Oh, is that what it is? I'll have to remember that. Folks, well, I do apologize. I was not watching the chat room. I understand someone was calling in. I do apologize. So if you are listening to us and you would like to call in and share, please do so. We're just, Tim and I are, I think we've got our noses in our notes, so we do apologize. But absolutely awesome, folks. We're going to go over to the American League MVP now. And Tim, why don't you go ahead and take the lead on that one? I'm curious to know who you have on this one.
Well, you know what? There once was a team from the West Coast that had this young kid. And this young kid finished second, not once, but twice. That's going to change this year. Mike Trout is the most dynamic young player in the game. The Los Angeles Angels are in the playoffs. Mike Trout is my number one choice, and I have a sort of a mixed group in the pack below. Victor Martinez, an amazing year for the Tigers. 32 home runs, 103 RBIs, 327 batting average. I think we'd be very remiss if we didn't mention the AL leader in batting average, stolen bases, and hits. Probably the smallest big man in the game, Jose Altuve. Michael Brantley in Cleveland, an amazing year. He's going to be the only other player to break 200 hits in the AL this year. And Nelson Cruz, where would Baltimore be without that 40 home runs, 108 RBIs? So I'm giving it to Trout this year, but all the other four certainly, in my opinion, deserve honorable mention.
Wow, Tim, again, I think we're on the same page yet again. What a shock. I went as with my number two, of course, it was Victor Martinez. Wow, glad he's back from, being hurt when they lost him. We all knew he could hit, but seeing him hit just reminds all of us that the world, at least in baseball terms, is back to normal, folks. That's a good thing. When Victor Martinez hit, there are a lot of happy people both on both sides. So he was my number two. I think it's obvious what my number one is, but I also wanted to mention another guy that kept his team in it up until, a few games ago. And that guy did come from the Great White North, just around the Detroit area, but this guy was actually from Toronto, and that's Mr. Bautista himself. And, I have to sneeze. Tim, I want to sneeze, but I can't. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know what? I thought you were going to say Brad Laurie for a second.
Oh, you are inherently evil.
Thank you.
Thought I was going to say that. That's funny. Folks, I went with Bautista only because I really felt that his year was worth it. And again, this was a team that was in contention for a while, and his numbers are pretty good. But, getting some noise in the background. I do apologize. Let's see if I can shut that off. I'm getting a commercial.
Nice. We have been interrupted to let you know that, yes, don't horse around without Trojans. No, just kidding.
Well done. I don't know where it came from. It was on my computer, so I do apologize. Obviously, I clicked on something. But, folks, this is something that I've been alluding to. Yes, Tim, I agree. Not once, but twice. He deserved to win. And the only negative on the individual who I believe is the best player in baseball, yeah, I said it, Mr. Trout, is the number of strikeouts that he had. That is the only thing that I will give him a negative on. Other than that, I mean, what don't you like about him? His glove, his bat, base running, he is. Tim, is he a 5-tool? I think he's a 5-tool.
5.5, I think. He's only 23. He's still got room to grow and improve his game considerably. Isn't that a scary thought?
Yeah. And these two kids, Kershaw and Trout, wow, they're on the West Coast. That's strange. Haven't had that in a while where the best pitcher and the best hitter, or the best player, I should say, are on the West Coast. And actually, they're only 30 miles away from each other. Really amazing. Folks, Trout had another stellar year, and of the 3 years, this was probably his least. I have some serious worry about his strikeout totals really shooting up. He had 184 strikeouts. His ERA was down. I'm sorry, his average was down. But, folks, think about that. You strike out more, and your average starts going down, obviously. But he still had an OPS of .939. Wow. That's impressive for a kid.
Well, unfortunately, scorekeeper, I have got about a minute and 15 seconds to get into my next podcast here. As usual, this neat knucklehead from up north has rambled too long. I'm going to have to depart, but before departing, I want to thank you so much for inviting me to be part and parcel of this wonderful hour talking baseball. And anytime, and I mean anytime, you just call and I'll be there for you, my friend.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. I'm sorry I kept you so long. I enjoyed the conversation. We're going to continue another day. But now, Tim, thank you. Get going. Get out of here.
I'm gone.
That's Tim McLeod, obviously, our Canadian knucklehead from the Great White North. Absolutely awesome. I know we both went on giving love both to each other as well as to our choices. But we're going to go and continue. And we're going to give you the choices. Manager of the Year, of course, Buck Showalter with the Orioles. And, I'm undecided when it comes to the Manager of the Year for the National League. This is one that I'm literally going to shoot from the hip. I'm going to make a decision right now. I was really indecisive. I didn't really know who I wanted to go with. Because I don't know if there was anyone that really stood out, but I knew it was going to be based on the standing. Look, manager of the year, come on. It's not going to come from the last place team. Could it? Sure, but uh-uh. So it was Showalter in the American League. The National League, well, I mean, I'm not going to go with Johnson with Washington. I mean, that was a blowout. They won by 17 games. You know, the Braves were in it near the end, but they still finished 79-83. Those aren't manager of the year numbers. You got St. Louis. You got Pittsburgh, San Francisco. And then with San Francisco, I had to go through Pittsburgh. My choice would probably be Pittsburgh, and I think we know who that is. It's Clint Hurdle, if I'm not mistaken. And I guess I'm just going to make the decision now. It would be Hurdle from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Now, we also had choice for the most offensive player of the year. I think Tim and I are going to agree on this one. And that is Victor Martinez from the American League and Stanton from the National League. I think we're both on the same page on that one. And as our final choices, we have as the best defensive players, Pedroia in the American League and Andrelton Simmons in the National League. That pretty much covers it, folks. We are now where we need to be. These are our choices for the 2014 Major League Baseball season. Thanks for listening, and we're glad that you spent some time with us. If you guys have your opinions, go ahead and let us know. Join us on Facebook over at ndbmedia.net. We're also, as I mentioned, NDB Media on Facebook. Folks, we'd love to hear your opinions, but you've got them. And we're going to know the ones from Tim shortly, because we're also going to put them on Facebook. You heard where he's on. Go and listen to him, because I'm going to do it. Folks, in the meantime, we are out of here, folks. And let's make sure we get it done right.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Please drive carefully and arrive home safely. Good night.